coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, December 15th, 2023. 10 days till Christmas. Wow. All right, listening friends, thank you for joining us. We're broadcasting from the Salvation Army Red Shield Center in Champaign. Pastor Jason Schiffo will facilitate our discussion on 2 Kings, and we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 9. Joining me are 6 friends in the studio, and we appreciate everyone carving out time to be a part of this special edition of Mark and Friends, the Friday edition. Jason, the study of 2 Kings, is that 2 Kings or kingdoms or?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? Yes. It's a surprise and you can't open until Christmas morning. Okay. No, actually, at this time of the year, as I've said to many people over the last few weeks, we make all kinds of lists, don't we? We have lists of gatherings that we're going to have, lists of things we need to buy, things we need to get, things we need to do. With so much going on in this season right now, in this season of life, we try and keep ourselves organized the best that we can. And so we make all these lists. And in our house, we have what we call lists of things that we want and lists of things that we need. The reason that we do this is because my wife found out a long time ago that it's very important for her to differentiate between what she wants and what she needs. What she wants, if it doesn't happen, we'll all go, oh. What she needs, if it doesn't happen, we'll all go, oh, and run for cover. And we make all these kinds of lists. In fact, our kids have for Christmas, they have lists of what they want and what they need. And we always like to talk to them about making sure that they write down what it is they need. But let me ask you this question. Which list do you think is bigger? The wants or the needs?
The wants.
The wants is always bigger, and the wants is always more extravagant. Even though every time my son takes his shoes off, I say, I think you need new socks. But who wants to get socks for Christmas? Never anybody.
And isn't there a rule of thumb that you can't give a gift that has like a warranty?
I don't know about that. But this time of the year,
an iron.
Yeah, this time of the year, and Advent in particular, trains us for the fact that there is a difference between what we want and what we need. And during this time of the year, we're reminded that God gives us exactly what we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk about what it means between what we want and what we need, the king that we want and the king that we need. Well, we actually, the Bible, as with everything, it informs us about this. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, it tells us that the elders of Israel came to Samuel. They said, we need a king, and we need a king like the nations. Now, this is interesting because in Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning in verse 14, we see that God says that he's going to bring about a king, but it's going to be the king of his choosing, the king that he chooses. But here in Samuel, the people come and they go, give us a king. They don't say, give us a king like what God will choose. Mm-hmm. They say, give us a king like what?
Our neighbors have.
Yeah, like our neighbors have. By the way, biblically speaking, are the neighbors people that God's chosen people are supposed to be like?
No.
No. But they want a king just like the neighbors. Give us a king just like those neighbors have. And it says in verse 6 of 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel chapter 8, that the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king. And so what do you think that Samuel did with his displeasure, with his frustration at the people asking for a king? By the way, if you got your Bible, it tells you in verse 6. But what do you think that he did?
Did he pray?
He prayed. It says he prayed to the Lord. I love this because this is instructional for us, right? When we come across something that frustrates us, gives us anxiety, it displeases us, what should we do first?
Pray.
Yep. And that's what Samuel did. He prayed to the Lord. And it said, the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. This verse to me is fascinating because Jesus will echo something very much like this in the upper room later, won't he?
Yes, he did.
He'll say, if they hate you, it's because of what?
They hate me.
They hate him. Right. See, Samuel, because Samuel follows God here and Samuel loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, and might, Samuel here feels rejection because they're rejecting the Lord. And that can feel like that for many of us when that happens. When people reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it feels like they're rejecting us. But God here says, give the people what they want. Sometimes we find in the Bible, God gives people what they want so that they can realize what they need. Sometimes God gives us what we want so that we can realize what we need. I have a lot of stories about that that I will not go into, where the Lord's given me something I said, I want, and then it just doesn't seem as good as it really did in the wanting. Have you ever thought, I really want to get that, I really need that. In fact, it starts to just encompass all of your thoughts. You find yourself Googling it on the internet. You find yourself looking at it in the catalogs. You find yourself doing all that. And then when you get the thing, you go,
why?
Yeah, you go, it's just okay. But it didn't really deliver on its promises. Because everything other than the Lord never delivers on its promises.
Well, and that's also not just things. That could be achievements or goals set or whatever. And then suddenly when you get there, you're like, oh, is this all it is?
Well, the history is replete with stories of people who have looked towards achievements and then gotten them and said, I stood on that podium or I did that. And it just didn't seem to deliver. In fact, it was interesting. I heard an interview this past week, and somebody said, how did it feel when you won that thing? And the person said, it was just okay, but I actually enjoyed the process of doing it more than the actual winning of it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was very healthy when I heard that. But he says, obey the people and what they say, what they ask for, this king that they want, because they're rejecting me. They're not rejecting you, Samuel. And then the Lord sends him back to the people to clarify them exactly what they're asking for. This is the grace of God. The grace of God comes and says, okay, this is what you want. Let me show you what it's going to be like. And he said, these will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. This is verse 11 of 1 Samuel 8. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and equipment and his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vineyards and give them to his officers and his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. Now, what did you notice repeated in those verses?
He will take.
He'll take. Not only that, but the other thing that you should underline if you're someone who underlines his Bible is everything was about him, right? His this, his that, his. Everything is about him, and everything is about what he will take from you. This king that these people want, the king that they think they need, he's a taker, not a giver. He just wants to take for himself so he can build his earthly human kingdom. And he's going to build it on the backs and from the people by taking from them. And then verse 18 says, and in that day you will cry out because your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. What the Lord says in verse 18 is he's saying this. This is what's going to happen because of your king and your choices. And you're going to cry out to me. You know why? Because in that day you're going to realize that you had a king. And you had a king who was a giver, not a taker. Verse 19. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Because when you want something, you want it, right? And when somebody says you can't have it, do you want it more or less?
More.
Yeah. And so here, as Samuel comes from the Lord and says, this is what this king that you want is going to be like, the people are like, we don't care. We want it. Give it to us. And the Bible tells us that the Lord will give us what we want. He'll give us over to the desires of our hearts if that's what we want. He doesn't do it because he wants to see us fall or fail. He does it because the Lord in his infinite wisdom knows that when you taste that, you're going to go, why didn't I choose the other? I want him, not this. Somebody once told me everything that's not the Lord has a bitter aftertaste. Everything is the stuff of future garage sales. Only his lasts eternal. Only his is perfect. Remember, the Lord said that this will be the king that he chooses back in Deuteronomy 17. So we got the king that the people want. It's not a good one. He's a taker, not a giver. He's the present that doesn't, you know, it's not gonna go well. And then we come to Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 9, if somebody would read the first five verses, that would be great.
Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder, as in the day of Midian's defeat. You have slaughtered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire.
Stop right there. So what do you think this passage is saying? Does anybody know? Does anybody know the context of this passage and what it's saying? So remember, Judah is about to be what? It's about to be what? Remember what we talked about last week in Isaiah chapter 7 and 8? Judah is about to be invaded. They're about to be invaded by Assyria, by Israel, and Assyria. And that invasion is going to come through the north. And so right here in Isaiah 9, when it begins, it's talking about the invasion and what's going to happen. It says that the north is going to be in anguish. The north is going to suffer a particularly difficult time. But in this particularly difficult time, the Lord is promising a very special blessing that is going to come first from this area. Where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem, yeah. But he came from where? He came from the north, right? He came from the Galilee. Yes. The bulk of his ministry was done in the Galilee. The Galilee was particularly blessed by the presence of the Lord as he walked in and amongst them in the flesh. And so it says here, people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, those of us who've been studying the book of John know that light is synonymous for what?
For Jesus.
For Jesus, exactly. And those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, deep trouble, what it says here, that the light has shone upon them, has come amongst them. And this, it says, will increase joy, and then you rejoice before them as with the joy at the harvest. And so this whole beginning of Isaiah chapter 9 says, listen, that invasion is going to come through the north, and the north is going to suffer in a particularly horrible way. But God has a blessing that is going to come in and amongst that place through his promises. And that brings us to verse 6. For to us a child is born and a son is given. This reminds us of chapter 7, right? That a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and his name shall be called what?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, which means?
God with us.
God with us, exactly. But this tells us that the Son, who is God with us, isn't just going to be a son or a baby, that he's going to be a king. See, this describes here the king that we need. Not the king we want, the king that we need.
And this king that is given to us and that comes through us, through Israel, it says the government shall be upon his shoulders. This is one of my favorite verses regarding Jesus. Because, listen, only Jesus' shoulders are strong enough to carry what it means to rule in righteousness. What it means to rule rightly. What it means to bear the glory of God. We have to, and I said this to some folks recently, we have to get over putting our trust in weak-shouldered leaders who cannot carry the burden of what it means to rule righteously. Only Jesus' shoulders can bear the weight of what it means to rule rightly. And so this government, this kingdom will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, why do you think that Jesus is such a wonderful counselor?
He's always right.
He's always right, yep. Why else? Anybody else?
Ready to listen.
Ready to listen? Why else?
Ready to work.
Ready to work? Okay. Where does his counsel come from?
God.
Exactly. Exactly. See, every human counsel can't be called wonderful because every human counsel falls on human wisdom, which is broken at best. The best of men are men at best.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But his counsel comes from God himself. And the beauty of that is that God makes his counsel available to us through who? The Holy Spirit. His name shall be called Wonderful God and then Mighty God. That's something I think we need to remember, isn't it? How many times have we come up against something and we've been fearful or frustrated or didn't know what to do? And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that God is for us. Then who can stand against us?
That's right.
Why? Because he's mighty. And he's everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now this is an interesting one because it says Prince of Peace. By the way, everlasting Father, that kind of gives us hints as to the promise that was given to David that there'll be one who comes after David whose kingdom will be everlasting. That there will be no end to this kingdom. We read about that in the New Testament. But it says here that he's the Prince of Peace. But what's interesting is that doesn't mean the absence of conflict. That doesn't mean the absence of trouble. That means peace within trouble. Peace in the midst of turmoil. Peace in the midst of problems. Jesus comes to give us peace in our coming and our going, in the midst of all that we go through. It's not a Christian idea that, like, I'll trust in God and he'll just get me out of my stuff. Not at all. The promise of the gospel is that God meets you in the midst of your stuff, and he gives you your peace. He gives you his peace. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Again, reinforcing this idea of everlasting. And on the throne of David, if there's any question who's the lineage that it comes through David and over his kingdom. See, this is the king that we need. This is not the king that we want. The king that we want is a taker. He's going to take this, he's going to take that, and it's all going to be for himself. This king here, he's going to take all of the burden upon his shoulders and bear all of the weight of it. Why? Because he's a giver. He's going to give us the counsel, not keep it for himself. He's going to share his might and for his people, not for simply for himself. Just in the fact that God tells us this, God is a giver, right? Because he's giving us a promise, a hope to rest ourselves upon, to rest every single one of our worries upon.
Jason, wasn't this kind of scandalous that they would reference that this child to be born would also be called Mighty God?
Well, listen, the gospel is scandalous. Mm-hmm. Because the gospel says that sinners get to come into the presence of God through belief in Jesus Christ and get to be called sons and daughters. That no matter where you were, what you have done, that the opportunity for you to come home to your heavenly Father and to know that you are loved is an open door to everyone, even the worst of the worst. So the gospel by nature is scandalous. The gospel by nature is difficult to wrap your head around. And yet this is the promise. And I love that it says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. What was the proclamation of the angels at Shepherd's Field? This is good news of great joy that will be for
all the people.
All the people. Yeah. All the people. Not some, but all. And God has given this to us, exactly what we need. See, God looked at our list of wants and he looked at our list of needs and he said, this is what they need. And now the question that I have for us in this room here and those who are listening is this. What do you want? Do you want more than anything the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you want what you want? Because God already knows what you need. Now the question we have to address is, what do you want most?
Yeah, I'm over here with a lot of engineering.
We only had a picture. It's like an air traffic controller. He's landing planes.
There's like 9 different channels that I'm trying to adjust and work through. And so I felt like I wasn't totally engaged this time, but appreciate this passage. And it's one that so many are familiar with during this holiday season, reading through Isaiah and reading through the Gospels and getting familiar with the birth of Christ. And yet, as you always say, Jason, it's so important. Yes, we love Christmas, but Easter is like the icing on the cake, because if it wasn't for Easter and his resurrection, then all this would be for naught.
Well, I'll preach on Christmas Eve that the reason that Christ came into the world was so he could go to the cross. He didn't come into the world, and then at some point God goes, you know what, the cross is a good idea. He came into the world to go to the cross. And immediately when we start to read the Gospels, Jesus keeps telling his disciples, we have to go to Jerusalem. We have to go to Jerusalem. I have something to do in Jerusalem.
Yep. Well, listening friend, if you haven't invited someone to church, this is another great weekend to do it, or the next week. Get them invited, plan ahead, figure out a lunch, have some food with them, or take them out or invite them over and get them joining you for church. I think we mentioned that last week, the importance of just asking somebody. So many people are 80% more receptive if they're just asked to go to church, so they know they can sit with someone. So be intentional, be praying that up. See who God might put on your heart and invite him to join you for maybe a meal and then church, or church then a meal. We'll close with blessing all of you. I guess we can start saying Merry Christmas. I've been saying it for about a week or two. But Merry Christmas, everyone. And thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.